Blog Talk Radio.
You know, this is a show that we normally do that's meant to be after work, after hours, where you come in and, you know, we talk about different topics and different things going on in the world out of our regular jobs. But this show in particular is kind of a special show to us. We are bringing in Finesse because, you know, Finesse has been missing for a little bit, so... You know, he's going to be on the show, talk about his health scare, some things going on in the world, and we're going to check out the world according to Finesse on this program. Now, our co-host Kathleen will be on in a second, so she'll be there, and we'll also kind of go through the movie Chi-Raq, because since that has been on everybody's radar and is going to hit the movie theater soon. Chi-Raq, I think, is starting this weekend. So we're going to talk about that. Have a trailer from Chi-Raq as well. We may get into some games, you know, a little black or white, some other things, and check out some things that's in the news. So I want to welcome you to Off the Clock. I'm going to start the show off today by going through a couple of news stories, some things that's going on that we need to catch up on in the world of news and information. Now, I know, again, there's the major news media that's going to tell you what the headline news stories are, so I'm not going to cover that, but if you want to call in, you can join us at 909-265-9189 if you want to join in and talk about some other things that's going on in there. But if not, we'll just cover some of the things that we do. Now, if you didn't know, Will Smith, actor, rapper, and artist Will Smith, is he and his wife Jada Pinkett Smith has been together for 20 years, and they said to keep their marriage strong that it's no secret that at the end of the day, they're just not quitting, is what they revealed in a new article that's coming out in, I guess it's in Entertainment Tonight is where they spoke. So for those who always have those questions about, hey, what's going on with Will and Jada in the big picture, hey, they have been together, and Will said it's hard, and he's not going to kid ourselves about how hard it is, but he said that he is not going to, you know, they're just not going to give up, and that's the secret to their relationship. So good for them. Just wanted to make sure we put that on the program. And wanted to talk about the – wait, actually, I do have another story I wanted to mention. You know, the president did recognize 17 Americans with the highest civilian award this week, including the first black woman elected to Congress – and one of, you know, or a couple of baseball greats, it was Yogi Berra and Willie Mays, Shirley Chisholm, and NASA mathematician Katherine Johnson. They all were honored and received the, I guess it's called the Medal of Freedom, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So I wanted to start that off with some news you may not have known that kind of happened this week. But let me go directly to the phone lines and bring in Kathleen, because I see that she hit the board. Let's go. Hope this is not too much of a shock to you. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I started to call you directly from the board, but then I said, who knows what you where you may be at the moment, so I didn't want to just call and just throw you on a show.
No, you know what happened? I was sitting on hold on the other number waiting for, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong line.
You know,
and then I called,
that's
it's free.
and I was actually calling you from the board when you called, when I saw that you came in. So I said, all right, I guess I don't have to do that. But I was gonna hunt you down.
Thank you.
And you know, and yes. And I'm thinking Finesse is doing the same thing because Finesse is not on a board yet. So we're gonna I decided to do a little bit of news stories until he gets on because hopefully he's not on the other board trying to get in and saying, where's the show? Can't find the show. So we'll be here with Finesse in a second. But on
maybe
the show,
text him just the show number.
Well, yeah, I actually did. Well,
did I text him
the show number? I'm not sure.
He texted to me, but you see I totally dialed the wrong number.
Oh, this is true. This is true. That happens, and I guess we can't really complain about that. Just
that is
to say,
so funny.
Yeah. So depending on what's going on with him, I know he may need a little bit more time. But I'm
tried to give him
a little heads up, and I know he's going to be on momentarily. So, matter of fact, how do I know that? Because Finesse may not have the show number. We're going to have to hunt him down. So when I take a break, I guess we'll come back and try to find Finesse.
Okay.
That's funny. It was like we have a show that we are actually happening to find the, find Finesse on. Yeah. Well, you know, he figured, he could be in the middle of anything, and I have to catch him before he starts, doing whatever he's doing. Who knows?
Right.
What is Finesse?
Right.
So, you know, maybe I'll do that. I'll have to text him the other number. So. I want to kind of talk about some of the news stories since we haven't done a nightly show like this in a while, and you know we haven't done black on black crime in a while as a show. And Finesse today sent me all these things that he wanted to talk about, and you know it's pretty much black on black crime with Finesse tonight. So I just wanted to share that before we get started. Because Finesse said since he's been missing for a while, he needs to come out, and there are some things that he wants to talk about. So we're going to let him cover them and, see how he kind of deals with, he wants to talk about the Soul Train Awards and some other things. So we'll have to ease into those conversations.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't know if you heard the story about Tom Joyner, apparently the Daily Mail has had a story about Tom Joyner saying that, you know, the legendary syndicated talk show host Tom Joyner, I might as well give him his props, they're saying that he may be signing off the air by no choice of his own. Now,
Steve Harvey
story,
knocked him out the box.
No, you know, it, and actually, okay, so... Here's the thing. Here's why this always is a good black-on-black crime topic when we start talking about this, is that Steve Harvey, well, first of all, not Steve Harvey. We'll just do this from Tom Joyner's point of view. So Tom Joyner has had a partner who helped him get syndicated, right? So we won't go through black or white. So here's how it goes. So reportedly he's being forced out, and the plan is apparently to phase him out to coincide with President Obama leaving office. And so there's a source that said, I think that, yes, wait until his contract is up in 2017, right, or 2016.
Why is it connected to President Obama? Because he supported him?
Right, because that they think they'd get too much backlash from the community, probably, if he goes before then, because people are listening. I don't know. It's weird, but all right. So let me say
what they did to Michael Bay.
Well, this is true, but But the story goes that Radio 1 has bought the time to join the show, which is Kathy Hughes.
Right.
Now, so Kathy Hughes' program, well, here's what the source said. They think they're going with a younger, fresher show is the way to go, and the entire plan has been orchestrated by the man who actually launched Tom into syndication, right? And Radio 1 apparently plans to move Rush Power's show in. Now, Rush Power's 56. Tom Joyner is 65, I think. But they want to put Rush Power's show into D.C. and Baltimore starting in January. Now, Rush Power's show is owned by Radio 1. So here's the deal. Why would they buy the majority of Tom Joyner's show and then force him out? Didn't that seem strange?
Okay, so Radio 1 just bought Tom Joyner's show?
Well, okay, so here's the full backstory. Tom Young's business partner, who left ABC Radio, Tom Joyner hired him, and they ran Reach Media. So they orchestrated the syndication deal with Radio 1. The guy talked them into selling some shares to Radio 1. And after a while,
the guy that Tom Joyner hired.
Yeah, the white guy. I'm just going to say it that way. Because it was just shady. It was what happened. So I'm
right.
going to say it this way because I'm looking up the guy's name. I actually have it. But he, at some point, Steve Harvey had a falling out with Radio 1 and Kathy Hughes and decided to bounce. So he goes to Tom Joyner, asked if he would syndicate Steve Harvey's show. And the white guy says, well, you're too abrasive to your audience and all this other stuff and would not help out Steve Harvey. Now, he's running Tom Joyner's Reach Media at this point. Steve Harvey goes to Premiere, gets syndicated, and his ratings are now better than Tom Joyner. So the white guy convinces Tom Joyner to sell some more shares of Reach Media to Radio 1, so they had a $56 million deal of share and cash exchange. And then when they did that, Radio 1 owned 80% of Tom Joyner's show, that and Black America Web. So once that happened, Tom Joyner didn't have any control of his show anymore, had to fire Myra J and Miss Dupree off of the show because they didn't want the full-time employees, and Tom couldn't do anything about it, even though it was his show. Now,
my mouth is
the moral
open. Let them get control of Black America Web?
He gave up both of them.
You don't want me to say what I was going to say. But same guy that you just talked about,
They were both they were both partners in Reach Media, but he sold it to Radio 1. So once
Black America Web, though,
and Tom doing the show. Oh, go ahead.
Oh man, they owned it both together. Oh,
yes.
Geez.
He had under
the
same media.
So here we go again with another black entity that is reaching so many black folks that is now owned by white people.
No, actually, Kathy Hughes is black. So Radio 1, who owns TV 1, Kathy Hughes, owns all of it now. So once Radio 1 got 80%, the white guy leaves, and Tom Joyner bought him a Bentley. They went on family vacations together. Now, Tom Joyner is a multimillionaire. Cut this guy into his thing. He sells them out to Radio 1 and then joins Radio 1 as a head of their radio operations. And now they're talking about phasing out Tom Joyner.
That is so dirty.
I know. So Daily Mail is reporting that you know, Tom Joyner obviously is a little depressed walking around, you know, his studios, and he can't do anything about it. And he always has an option to go to, you know, Sirius or XM radio, or kind of go to just kind of another network. But he, Reach Media owns the Tom Joyner Morning Show, which he'll have to change the name of it, and they own Black America Web. At the same time, they're trying to move Russ Parr into all of those 105 markets that Tom Joyner is in.
Oh, boy.
Now, yeah, that is a mess. So I know Finesse probably wants to talk about it from that perspective to say, because we know that that is going to be a mess, just generally, just to talk about what's going on selling out your company. That wasn't even a hostile takeover. That was like a leveraged buyout. He thought that somebody was his friend and sold out his company.
I'm stunned.
Yes,
I'm stunned.
It is.
So did they set him up?
To me, it looks pretty much like he got set up, because it has to be one of those things where, you know, if by default the guy who is your friend cuts a deal, becomes CEO of something else, and bought you out. Now, Tom Joyner did make a lot of money, I have to say, right? So he's a multimillionaire, and they bought his company, bought out the shares. But Tom Joyner said he had no plans of retiring. So officially, Reach Media, which is Tom Joyner's own company, said that we expect Reach will continue Tom's show beyond the date for as long as he would like to be on the air. This is an official statement from Radio 1 about Reach Media. Now, I can see how they're going to mask this right now. Radio 1 is going to say, we don't have anything to do with this. Reach Media did. And they put that other guy in charge of Reach Media. But Reach Media doesn't own anything else but Tom Joyner's show and Black America Web. Confusing,
oh,
no?
Okay. Yeah, I'm stunned. Okay, so let me just ask one more question. Because you said they became partners in, I thought you were saying partners in this Reach Media thing.
Right, okay, so here it is. Former business associate David Cantor is supposedly Tom Joyner's best friend. So he originally worked for ABC Radio Networks, and he had an idea of syndicating the Tom Joyner show. So, and he came up with the idea of national syndication for the Tom Joyner show. So, in November 2004, in 2003, the guy leaves ABC Radio Networks to run Tom Joyner's Texas-based Reach Media. He leaves them, joins Tom Joyner, right? Then the next year, Radio 1 acquired 53% stake in Reach Media, $56.1 million in cash and stock. Gave them the ownership rights to Tom Joyner's show and BlackAmericaWeb.com.
To Reach Media.
Then, yes. No. Reach Media owned it. They just bought stock in Reach Media.
Right. Okay.
Right. So Reach Media, Radio 1 has 53% of Reach Media.
Okay.
And so later on, I guess, I don't know how many years later, 2012, David Cantor, convinced Tom Joyner to sell some more stock to Radio 1. They already have 53%, and he sold it to Radio 1, and Radio 1 ended up with 80% of Tom Joyner's company.
But why would he do that?
That's what he's saying right now. I'm sorry, he didn't call you, did he? Okay, so that's all I'm saying. I'm just, you know, just thought I'd throw that out there to say.
But you don't give anybody 80% of your company if you still want it, because you're now you have to ask. Now you have to ask somebody or pray that somebody will make the same decisions that you make. And when you're talking about that much money, you can never rely on anybody else to make the same decisions you would make. You just can't. If you had to sell another, you said it's 50, they own 56% or something. Well, they were already the majority shareholder. But if you had to sell more, you needed to sell it to somebody else.
Well,
if you felt like you needed the money, you don't sell it to the same person.
Again, he trusted his business partner, who turned out. Okay, you know that saying from Rush Hour, every great crime? Well, I hate to be a reminder of Chris Tucker, but he trusted the light-skinned guy, and the guy
that's
sold him out.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it. I don't get it. He was already booted out of so many markets by Steve Harvey, right? So he had to, and look at Steve Harvey, Family Feud, television program, all this stuff. Now, Tom Joyner said his company, the thing with his company are those huge programs that he does with the historically black colleges, those big shows that he does.
Right. So now you're hitting on something, right? So if you are looking at this from the standpoint that we are on the business side, all the stuff that he does with historically black colleges, the party with a purpose stuff that he owns and trademarks, Reach Media owns it, so now Radio 1 owns it. So they're not going to create anything. They're just going to use Tom Joyner stuff against them. So the Fantastic Voyage stuff, I was wondering what happened to It's Your World. I like that show. Well, if Tom Joyner's not paying them anymore, they can't make it anymore. And I didn't know he did not have ownership since for that long, that, you know, in 2004, that Radio 1 came in. And then when you have to fire your friends, they said that that was killing Tom Joyner, that he had to fire his friends. And rightfully so. That makes plenty of sense.
But that part, well, I understand and I really appreciate, I'm very grateful for the fact that he is tortured by that. But I wasn't a fan.
You said you appreciate it?
Okay. I wasn't a fan.
I don't know. There's no good way to say that. I'm not impressed. I'm impressed by it. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So, he was tortured by the fact that he can't, that he had to fire his friends. But that was the company said that they didn't want the full-time employees. So, you know, he kept J. Anthony Brown and Sybil Wilkes, but it's just an interesting story. So in the matter of, you know, I guess in the conversation of not how to get ripped off, because his show was widely successful. I mean, he was at the peak of his show. They were in 120 markets and had 15 million daily listeners. So he has about 8 million now. They're down, but 8 million is nothing to sneeze at.
That's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, he's the next largest or, you know, widely listened to radio show after Steve Harvey. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know, well, this is, you know, I hate to go into my whole conspiracy theory, so I won't do that. But from what I understand, from what I feel, listening to the Steve Harvey morning show, and I am a Steve Harvey fan, but it is very difficult to listen to his radio show. I feel like I have to, I have to turn my brain off for the most part to listen to that show in the morning. And I've heard, you know, some of the criticisms is, you know, the whole, that there is not a whole lot for your intelligence quotient if you're listening to that radio program. So what I do get out of it is you know, his opening of the show is an inspirational, motivational prayer kind of thing happening. So I like that. That's at 6. But after that, I don't know. You know, if you want to, I hate the prank call, you know, Tommy, his nephew Tommy. They are funny, though. Funny they are. And,
okay.
You know,
I'm just glad this is not black on black crime, because you know I'm about to commit one on Steve Harvey as soon as you're done. Okay, just wanted to say that. Just wanted to say that out. Because you're being nice, and you know I'm not going to.
You're about to commit one? Go ahead. You get a pen.
Yep. Say that again? So you can get a pen? Is that what you said?
I said, no, you go ahead, because you get a pass tonight.
Oh, I get a pass? Good. Okay, so Steve Harvey is country. And, you know, I really like my, you know, country people. That's just kind of how we are. But I will never listen to a Steve Harvey show to learn anything. And I very rarely listen to it. And the Hoodie Awards is just kind of a popularization of the fact that we do, I mean, he may do some good. Maybe. But that is not what you go to think is at a Steve Harvey show. So,
no.
You know, to popularize that in comparison to something like a Tom Joyner, which Tom Joyner does get on my nerves a little bit, but at least at Tom Joyner, you would get more credible people on Tom Joyner. I can't see a politician going on Steve Harvey's show running for office. So
they
now you're taking. Yeah, they did.
I mean,
because
Steve Harvey had President Obama too, and a bunch of other.
Yeah,
folks.
But President Obama was already elected.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so you can't dumb yourself down with somebody who's doing church lady stuff. Like, you just can't do that. Like, the humor is like sophomore humor opposed to, you know, somebody having some sense and having fun. Tom Joyner's show had more of having fun on it than it did the sophomore humor. So I had to kind of go with that. So in case you're just tuning in, we're talking about the news story of Tom Joyner, apparently, I guess they're talking from the Daily Mail's standpoint that there are rumors that Radio 1 is trying to move Tom Joyner out for the Russ Parr show in the D.C. market and in Baltimore by January. So here we go. So, but anyway, Steve Harvey's show is not Tom Joyner show. And again, just because he sold out for, and Steve, to Tom Joyner's defense, in his defense, I'm sure he wasn't, when he sold the shares to his program, I'm sure he did not think that they were just going to boot him out. I'm not saying that he's going to do that.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
All right, so let's do this. Yeah, so let's bring in Finesse, because I know that Finesse is going to probably give us a different take, because I know you saw the story, Finesse.
He's going to drop the 311, 411, and the 911.
There you go.
I'm going to drop all kinds of ones.
Finesse!
Right, welcome, Finesse, and you know, I didn't bring on the applause hand claps for Finesse because I didn't know when Finesse was going to jump in here. But
uh-huh.
I'm gonna let you go in on this first before we just talk to you and let you go off on everything else. But we just start with some news, and I just wanted to talk about that whole Steve Harvey kind of thing before we got
well,
started.
Well, there is some validity to this. This is something that we've seen coming for a minute, and what it is you've got Tom Joyner, and then you got Steve Harvey, and how minds think when it comes to us in anything, whether it's a television show or radio, whatever it is. Once the numbers kick in, if you're able to, and Tom Joyner's making so much money, if you're able to get rid of him because they have another show, then why not?
No. But you're taking this that they own them both. So Premier Communications owns the Steve Harvey show. Radio 1, who's bought the majority of shares in Reach Media, which is Tom Joyner's show, wants to put Rush Parr on in the morning to compete against Tom against Steve Harvey.
I think it comes down to if they can get the cost down. The cost. Tom Joyner commands a lot of money. They're paying him a lot of money. And I've heard the Rush Parr show. It used to come on a weekend here, but that got canceled. This is the decision that's going to be based on money. And Rush Parr show is not that. I shouldn't say it's not that great. It's okay, but
right.
It's not Tom Joyner. Nowhere near Tom Joyner. It's not Steve Harvey, as a matter of fact. Heck, it ain't even in my show when I used to come on. I'm just saying.
I agree
That's right. Me too.
He is funny. He has come up with some funny things, but this thing comes down to money. That's the situation. Is this? And for whatever reason, and I shouldn't be dissing Steve Harvey either, but his show brings it, and his show has improved than when it first came on, but everybody is on a Steve Harvey tip.
Right.
And if you could drop somebody because the cost is cheaper, then do it. It won't be a great thing for radio, especially not here in D.C. and Baltimore. You can't get rid of Tom Joyner. You already got, you know, when you did Donnie Simpson, which, by the way, folks, Donnie Simpson is back on the air down here.
And he just signed with Radio 1. That's why they get rid of Tom Joyner, I think.
That's right.
If they are, then again, it's still money. He's still cheaper than Tom Joyner. You're talking about paying Tom, Civil, and Jay.
Right.
Those are commanding salaries right there.
Okay.
You think it will go down to the money?
Yeah, it will come down. It will come down to money, and I remember when I was program director down south, and when Chief Kathy Hughes had some other shows. She had Al Sharpton. She had Two Live Stews. What's the brother from the one that's always using big words out of Philly? His show. We had him for a year, and then she decided she was paying the Two Live Stews some money. That's when they were hot as far as blacks doing sports. And she didn't want to pay him, and they all left. So it comes down to money for her, and it comes down, you know, and this is something I hate when it comes to black radio and TV. It always comes down to money.
Right.
It's the money.
Right.
We don't pay our talent. We say, okay, we'll just let you go. Ed Gordon, that's why the news is down the air. And that was a BET thing because of money.
All right.
It's
so,
always
you know,
something that we deal with money.
All right. So, I mean, I agree with that. I know that that's why pretty much those guys suck. So, again, I'm kind of like you finessing this by saying, yes, we should not just go against not. I'm not throwing any stones at Steve Harvey, for example, because I don't listen to a show. I'm saying I would listen to Tom Joyner before I listened to some of those other shows. I've heard Russ Parr's show on the weekends, too, but he had Radio Scope and all those other things. But and
that was Lee Bailey.
But,
Lee Bailey was Radio Scope.
That was Lee Bailey. But Russ Parr used to come on after, I remember. So
and he used to do some skits for the Lee Bailey show, yes.
Right. So to take him out, and I saw Russ Parr on TV. I don't know whose network he was on, but they had some Russ Parr kind of program on TV before. So, you know, I think he had like a talk show.
You're right. He sure did. He did. He did have, and it was something on TV as well, and you see it's not on TV anymore, so that'll tell you.
Yeah,
no offense,
I didn't know
Russ
Parr was that young. You know, they said he's 56, but what happened is they're saying Tom Joyner, they want Rush Pryor to get a younger audience. I'm like, what, about 10 years younger? I think anybody in their 50s can relate to Tom Tom Joyner.
Well, so let me throw something else in here. There are a lot of people that jump out and don't stay in their lanes. I'm going to – I'll bring up the name Doug Banks. Remember Doug Banks?
Yes,
sir. Oh, yeah.
Doug Banks was the one that Tom had handpicked to take his place. Tom used to bring him on. When he was there, he would come on the host. And Doug was supposed to be the next one. Doug got impatient. Doug jumped shit.
Oh, that's right.
And then he went to a morning shift. And this was before Steve Harvey. And Tom marked him. The ratings were
I remember that.
It killed him. And Doug got picked up in a few of the major markets because he was a fresh voice. He was younger. They liked him and Dee Dee. But I think he ended up firing Dee Dee or something like that. It was a mess. That was a whole mess. But that opened the door for Steve because at that time it was like, okay, we can't have more than one black radio show. And then that show where you could, and then Steve got hot. The movies for Steve got him hot. So bye bye Doug Banks, and he's maybe on this a very few markets, but they ended up moving him from the morning to the afternoon. That's when he developed the afternoon show, because because Tom was just killing him. He was killing him in the morning. And it's just from there. So it always comes to money, and it's a shame we have to go up against each other. But there's only so many spots for morning, midday, or afternoon. And Doug wasn't going to make it. He didn't have enough juice. And then, you know, Steve could come in. Steve had everything. Family Feud, he had those people. Then he had his afternoon talk show.
Yeah, but they didn't. Before, you know, I did the story, Steve Harvey had a falling out with Kathy Hughes, so they were out of there. That's why he went to Premiere. He initially went to
Tom
Joyner.
And it's
because
it's about money. I'm telling you, about money. That's what it comes
it
down to,
was
is the money.
So if they won't pay Steve Harvey, why would they pay Tom Joyner? Anywho, all right. So on that note, I just want to say this really
and
quickly.
And Steve won a morning. Steve won a morning shot. That was the other big thing. Steve won in mornings because Steve used to be on Tom's show. All these guys know each other. And that was the big thing. Steve, well, he wanted mornings. He didn't want to do afternoons.
Right. Steve approached Tom Joyner about being syndicated because he fell out with Kathy Hughes.
Right.
And
right.
There we have it. All right. So
and what's his what's the other brother name? The comedian. His show is corny. I'm going to say that. No. Ricky Smiley is
just
not funny.
Uh-huh.
Who? He's just the other comedian.
D.L. Hughley.
He did D.L. Hughley. He also was with Kathy Hughes.
Right, and he came over with Tom Joyner.
Right. Well, he came over to Tom Joyner, but his show was just, you know, everybody was trying to get mornings, and that's Tom's thing. Tom was like, "Yo, I'm the morning.
Yeah.
Y'all got to do something else." And they put D.L. Hughley on in the afternoon. His show was D.L. Hughley is a very funny political commentator.
Right.
And for blacks, we just ain't on that tip.
All right, now Finesse, we have a lot to talk about with you because since you're coming back, you came in and just jumped right in the fire. But since she has a little time to hang with us, I'm going to bring in our other co-host, Kai, to say hey to you before we get into talking about your medical stuff and this other stuff that we're going to talk about today. So I want to bring in our girl, Kai. Hey, Kai.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hi, Finesse.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kathleen. How's everybody doing?
And just so we know, I do remember all the flags that Kathleen used to give me. So in case I do stuff I'm not supposed to do, just blame it on the school.
Wait, so a stroke won't make you forget your flags? Is that what you're telling us all?
No, stroke won't make me forget the flags.
That is terrible.
I'll use it as an excuse now. Oh, I said that because of the stroke.
Terrible.
That's why.
At least he let us know up front.
You know I'm not going to throw a flag now. Come on.
You know, you can't throw, you know what? You can't do that. I am disabled now. You cannot throw a flag on disabled folk.
He pulled a disabled card.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
I cannot.
That means I'm feeling better.
The nurse won't throw a flag on you, Finesse, but the lawyer will.
I am now going to hang out with Finesse because he now has that wheelchair access thing now. So I know he's going to use that.
I sure am.
I'm
using the parking space. I'm cutting in lines. I'm going to use this to the fullest. I'm letting y'all know that now. When I go to Disney World, I'm jumping.
Hey, he's getting a hub around. Like all of that.
At least he's honest.
Hey, he. It's like having it's like Snoop having that. What is called the card for his glaucoma. Like whatever.
Oh, wait a minute. He ain't the only one. I had a stroke too. You know that's good for stroke victims.
You got one too.
I'll be the next one. Oh, I'm on the way.
Officer, it's Finesse.
What half of us?
So you can't park in it's handicapped parking. And why does your car smell like weed?
It's like, yeah, I'm handicapped.
Could you hold this blunt while
I left
my license? Fine.
Right.
Well,
now we know he's feeling much better.
I was going to say, there's perks. I didn't know that there were, but that's what Finesse is here for. He's trying to tell everybody out there listening that there are
yes,
perks.
Oh, yes, there are perks.
Wow.
Oh, there are absolutely good perks.
I almost feel like we should take a break, but we're not going to do that.
So my question is, are these temporary perks or permanent perks?
I'm going to make them run as long as they can.
Exactly. I have a scanner and a copier, so technically you can look on my social media and you're going to see that little pass right up my face picture. It'll be like right there.
Hey.
Don't comment on my stuff.
Well, yesterday I went and did the mobility thing with MTA, so I'm good to go.
Good.
Hey. There we go. All right, now, Finesse, Kathleen has some things that she want to ask you. I know we didn't cover, your time away from us, so I just want to give you some time to talk about, you know, what happened and what do you want to talk about. You know, this is not my field, so, you know, we'll bring Kathleen and Kai in because I'm sure they have a lot more questions since I've already talked to you, so you can.
Yeah, when they hear the details, they're try not to cry about it. I did yesterday, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll hit the bump music if we have to go there really quickly. I don't know. You know, I have a time space issue, so I'll let you start off because right now, you know, we wanted to really do the show and be relaxed about it so that you can, you know, talk about what happened and I know you wanted to do. Later on, you and Sean are going to talk about doing some things that make awareness to strokes for strokes and some other things. So I'll let you start off and talk about what happened.
All right. Back in July 15th, I was actually on another show at the time, and I was actually on air. And while I was on air, I was just finishing up. And they noticed my speech. They said, something's not right with it. And I can hear them. And they thought I had hung up. And I wasn't feeling too well. And I remember that if you're having a heart attack or stroke, you should chew on aspirins. So I was in the bathroom. I decided to sit down on the toilet, was chewing the aspirins. And next thing I know, I fell out on the floor. That was on the 15th. They found me in the afternoon on the 16th, laying face down in my bathroom. People from my job that didn't come to work the next day, they called around to see what was going on. They happened to get my landlord's number, and they also called Sean. I was on his radio show, and say something is not right with Finesse. Can you go by there? So he drove down there real quick. There was a guy sitting outside, and he said they just took him to the hospital. So because of the fast action of my job and then Sean, and chewing the aspirin from what they say, that helped save my life because actually my brain bled out. The amount of blood in my head was the size of a golf ball. Now, you can say that, and it may not seem a lot, but if you put a golf ball to your head, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Right.
Yeah. So I had numerous surgeries, had the surgery, and when I woke up, I had socks on my hands. They had to restrain me because they had what they call a stent they put inside your head, and that was to alleviate the pressure. And when I saw the CAT scan, and this is the truth, the doctor even said this: there's no way I should be alive today. And for those people who don't believe in God, I do. And that was more proof for me because I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be able to talk. I shouldn't be able to walk or, you know, those kind of things. My left side is we're repairing that now. I can't write. I was left-handed. It happened on the left-hand side, and that's your motor skill side.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor, I have two doctors, and they when they look at the CAT scan, they're like, they would look at me, and they was like, yo, how are you still here? Wasn't clinically dead, but when you look at that, I should have been. And I'm here. And thanks to my family and friends, they got the word out to people because I know everybody was worried. No one had heard from me. They didn't know what's going on. But I did. I suffered a stroke, and I'm not mad at anyone. I'm more mad at myself. And my mission now is to talk to black men to make sure you go get checked out. Because had I been going to the doctors, I would have found out I had hypertension, which led to the high blood pressure, which is what caused the stroke. So I'm not mad at anyone. Somebody had emailed me. And I tell you what, the emails, because everybody on Facebook and social media emailed me, when I saw the remarks, you never know how much your voice and your hand touches people. That's what got me through seeing that get well, we need you, and all this other stuff. That was a really blessing. My brother came up to see me from Virginia. He stayed with me for a couple of days. My mom came down for a few weeks. So it was great. And then I have some excellent therapists here and a top doctor, one of the best when it comes to brain surgery and neurology. And they're the ones that put me back together, like the $6 million man.
and with a parking pass. So I just want to say,
I don't know, a parking pass. I gotta get out of jail car.
Hey,
came back with thunder. Good grief!
Yes,
I could trip you with my cane and not get in trouble. I'm great.
Yeah. It was like we can't say nothing to him now. But I do want to say this because, you know, our fellow co-host did not know, and Jerome has a little privacy issue that he deals with generally, and I don't think that that's a private matter. We all, you know, just keeping Finesse in prayers. But even when I found out, it wasn't like I was big on saying, hey, here's what happened. But at the same time, you know, I know Kai's a worrier, so I don't mean to throw Kai under the bus or anything.
I had not a clue. I was like, what happened?
Kathleen's a worrier, too.
Yeah.
Kathleen's a worrier undercover, too. So The thing is, I made the decision to say, I am going to tell them, but I can only tell them if I talk to them. And I hadn't talked to them, so I said, I can't just in a text or something. So if you didn't hear from them, they didn't know. So I just wanted to say
no, I did.
For how long
Kai did reach out. And I finally caught up to Kai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was totally clueless.
Yeah.
But you know what? You said the most important thing. You're living proof that God has another purpose for you. It was not your time yet. I just learned something because, you know, my mom had a similar stroke, and she's left-handed. And they said she learned because she was left-handed, she was learning from the left side of her brain, and she recovered. You know, my mom's much older than you, but they said it was her attitude and her, that's my pit bull barking in the back, but they said she had such a determined, stubborn attitude. She was so independent that she recovered, I think, 5 or 6 weeks faster than someone with the same injury because she's just like you. You know, that's why when you say you were on the floor, we were out for so long, very similar. But they said, you know, her learning from the left side of her brain was very significant to her recovery. But even you just saying, you know, chewing on the aspirin, I'm so glad you said that because I thought, you know, you swallow the aspirin. I didn't know chewing on it, you know, something as small as that makes that much of a difference. But, you know, that's you know, God was, you have another purpose. It wasn't your time to go.
Yeah, and you know, I want to address this because we, my core friends were very instrumental because word had got out that I had actually died. And that was strained out. And I appreciate it. And I know a lot of times people go to my Facebook page, especially now, and they see us just like you heard me joking about it. Because that's how I get through it. I have to be, it has to be comical to me because it's been a long road to recovery. I've been down since July 15th, 16th. Here we are in December. So it'll be actually 5 months. And they even said the same thing. They said my recovery time, I'm doing well. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks after I was down that I was up attempting to walk. I've gone from a quad cane now to a single cane. But I'm very independent as well. They had to stop me. I've been in 2 rehabs and 1 hospital. Every place I've been in, I've fallen. For the simple reason is I'm trying to get to the bathroom. And I don't want to be degrading, but I want people to know how serious this is and where I was at.
Right.
I don't like the fact that I couldn't use the bathroom on my own.
Right, exactly.
The catheter and the bag was not an option for me. Was not.
Right.
So I would try to get up, and my mind frame is, well, you can walk, and I think that's a sign you have to be strong. And I never thought about that. I can't walk. That never struck me. And, you know, it took a nurse there to really talk to me and say, look, we are here to help you. You can't keep getting up. Do what you got to do. Don't care. Don't worry. I'll take care of you.
No, wait a minute. If I would have known, I would have sent that clip of Kai saying, go somewhere and sat down. Because that's exactly what my aunt said.
Oh, I had to say that to my mother.
when I was little. Yeah. Yes. If you need to put that on loop for you, for this, we will do that.
You can put that on loop. You can put it on loop, but I learned so, you know, I have a much more appreciation for these nurses because there's a lot of stuff that they do that I couldn't do or wouldn't do.
Kathleen, you know you have an RN on the show, Kathleen. Don't you feel appreciated?
No, that's why I'm just listening and really taking it in because it is true and it is the, you know, the compassion of, you know, good nurses. And usually when you are on a ward like you were on, you're going to have really committed people. So I thank God for them that they were. I hear feedback of my line. Do you all hear that?
I don't know why. It might be me.
Yeah.
You aren't speaking
but
to me.
I thank God for them and for you, Finesse. I appreciate so much, like what Ty was saying, I appreciate so much about what you shared. You know, one, that, first of all, honoring you for even sharing the story, because so many would not want to share it, you know, and the fact that you are sharing it is testimony to the fact that God is using you, continuing to use you, and will continue to use you in not only this, but in the work that you do already, because you're bringing humor to something that's very, very serious, and that alone will cause more and more people to really listen to you, and and you're putting it right, you're putting it out there right where it has to be, because it's black men who are really disengaged from the medical community, a distrust from the medical community and a justifiable distrust, and just not really connected in so many ways, and just not going in. And, you know, you have a headache, you take some aspirin and go back to work, you know. And so, you know, thank God that you had so much knowledge that you knew to grab the aspirin and, like Ty said, chew it, not swallow it, because that immediately gets the effect of the aspirin into your bloodstream and straight to your brain where you were affected, you know. So this is so vitally important, and I just really want to herald you not only for your comeback but for your testimony.
Well, thank you. And I want to stress, we always talk about the killings, you know, that are happening in our community, but if we don't encourage our men and take our men to the hospital or to the doctors, we're doing just the same thing if somebody standing on the corner and shot them.
Right.
Because we walk away, like, when they brought me in, and I was somebody who was working out, doing whatever, but it had nothing to do with that. It was just stress.
Yeah.
And then they found high cholesterol. I was like, what? How am I high cholesterol, and I wasn't even eating all that junk? So you don't know. You have to go get checked. It's not a game when it comes to our health. And us black men, we like Kathleen just said, we just are not trusting and understand the reasons why. But it gave me that much more appreciation, because this doctor, he did a wonderful job and had to, and, you know, I came in, they had to do the surgery. And then, because I pulled the thing out of my head at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday, they
you
went back in and did a resurgery. Oh, yes. I told them it was itching. Now, I'm being truthful. I sat there and said, this thing is itching. You got to take it out. My mother said, you can't pull that out. The young lady that I'm seeing, she was with me for a month. And I didn't know that until my family told me. She was like, you can't take that out. You got to get better. Don't take that out. I pulled that sucker out of my head.
See, that's when I was.
Shut out.
There you go. Put it on loop.
All
right. You know what? God has a way of slowing you down when you ain't ready to slow down. And look how he slowed you down. And you probably don't see it now, but your voice is going to be way bigger than your radio station. Because, you know, every time you talk and share your testimony and someone shares it you know, I think, I'm not trying to act like I'm, you know, can see into the future, but I believe that he slowed you down because he has a plan for you much bigger than what you can imagine right now.
I agree with that. I didn't see it before, but I was up one night in my room here, and because I'm still in the staying at rehab until we have to now find me an apartment that's safe. I can't, you know, I can't fall again, not at least for another year. I can't bang my head. It's a whole. I have a much more appreciation for this movie Concussion that Will Smith is doing, because I have to talk to doctors, and I asked the doctor, I wanted to know about my brain and wanted to know, you know, I can't dislodge it again.
Right.
It's very sensitive, and I think we take a lot of stuff for granted. I don't like these hoverboards that are out there, and somebody's going to get sued because we're not letting our kids ride it. helmets on there when they're riding the bike. So you're going to put them on the hoverboard now and definitely not let them have helmets, and they should. It's a serious thing. So now I look at that stuff seriously. And when you talk to the doctor, it's not a game. And it's something that we need to talk about. And I know that we don't say, okay, I got to put my head a helmet on because we're trying, it's not black enough. Kids complain. It's corny if I don't wear it, if I wear that helmet. But we have to. You have to protect them because I don't want anybody to go through rehab what I went through. It's a struggle. And you have to have the right mentality. And there were days where I didn't want to be bothered. They would come in there and bang on my bed and said, you need to get up. And, you know, and they would push me. And I don't want a child to go through that because it's a struggle. I know you know, and if you're not ready, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm. And you got to have it. You have to have that determined attitude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gary Busey is a prime example of, you know, what being defiant and not, he didn't want to wear a helmet. He kept getting on his bike without a helmet. And now he's a strong advocate for, and I can't imagine a parent who would be okay with kids riding skateboards and hoverboards without a helmet.
But you see them all the time.
All the time.
You see them all the time. And it's not a game. And head trauma can cause you to have a stroke too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have to. It's a sensitive thing on our bodies is our head. And I learned that. And I didn't fall far. I was sitting on the toilet. I sat down to take the aspirin because I could feel it. I was like, yo, something ain't right. Like they were saying, yo, he sounds funny. And that's the first thing you know is speech.
Right. And thank God you had the coworkers and friends that cared enough to check on you, you know?
And that's the other thing, you know, we have to give patterns and we have to stay better connected. The one thing this has done is made my family, my sisters, and my mother, we've gone back closer again because I was almost taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was in a pattern, I was close to my coworkers, they knew it. They knew where I was, knew something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
So for those folks who are working or whatever it is, and even those ladies that walk home from work at night, whatever, let somebody know where you are.
Right, exactly.
Because that's the other thing from this. They knew something wasn't right. And no one can help you if they don't know where you are, know your pattern.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right. Now, Kai, I know you have to go, so I want you
to
give
another call. I have to make another call, but it won't be as interesting.
We're going
to
take we'll take a quick break, too, after you speak. But we'll take a quick break and come back, but I'll let you speak.
Well, it's just so refreshing and so relieving to hear from you, Finesse. I'm so glad that, I mean, just listening to you, talking to you, I mean, recovery is already in the works, you know. If you hadn't told me what happened to you, I would have never known. And that's a lot to do with the attitude. Just got to keep that positive attitude. And I'm speaking from experience, watching my 70-something-year-old mother go through it. If she can go through it and win, I know you can. I have full faith in you. And you know God. You already know. You know, just sit still and let him work on what he plans to work on with you. And, you know, you need to call and talk. And now that I know, I've been missing you guys a lot.
Well, now that I told.
Thanks, Kai. And
now
that I'm one of the disabled, I can now take you out officially on a date to a movie for cheap.
I never heard it as none of the music came on. I never heard it as a pickup line, but cool.
You know what?
Now y'all get the good parking up front.
Listen, you going with a man to get an SSI check now.
Oh, good Lord. And that is that. So I just want to say, we are going to take a break, come back. There will be no group date. Tell John I said, hey. And that's all I got to say. All right.
Yes,
and we
Well, I'm going to talk to y'all later. It was so good to hear from y'all, and I'm going to try to check in more. You're very welcome, and I'm definitely keep in touch.
All right.
Bye, Kathleen. Bye, Rome.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Yep, we'll see you later. And, you know, we're going to take a break. Listen to the preview of Chi-Rat, because Vanessa, I know you want to talk about that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And some other things on the docket. We did talk about Tom Joyner to start off the program, but I know you wanted to talk about the Soul Train Awards. You wanted to talk about the Janet Jackson music and Tyrese music. So we have all of that coming up. So we'll start with Chi-Rat and get Finesse and Kathleen in here. Kathleen's being quiet, Finesse. I don't know why, but be quiet today.
I think I scared her.
I know.
And I can't throw a flag tonight, so I got to be careful what I say. You know.
Don't let that sticker hanging from his rear view stop you. Throw a flag if you got that one.
No, but also, you know, it's just really everything is really speaking to me, too. So it's, you know, taking it all in.
Okay, cool. So we'll be right back after this. 909-265-9189 if you want to join in on the program. We'll be back after this trailer from Chi-Rat.
This is an emergency. This is an emergency.
Homicides in Chicago, Illinois have surpassed the death toll of American Special Forces in Iraq.
Hey, Solomon.
Welcome to Chi-Rat.
Chi-Rat, where we at, my sister?
Land of pain, misery, and strife.
Everybody here got a man banging and slanging, fighting for the flag, risking that long zip of the cadaver bag.
All to the bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
It all started with a gorgeous Nubian sister.
What's up, Benna?
They call her Alyssa Strutt. A woman like no other.
You just try taking away their gun.
Okay, the dirty poppers.
Cause my gun go boom, I'll make sure a Trojan end up in the neck.
All right, well, what else do they love?
Repeat after me. I will deny all rights of access or entrance.
I will deny all rights of access or entrance.
Lissa Strata had them all take a solemn oath.
Lock it up!
Stop the murder madness, or there would be no more Pope. The situation's out of control, because I'm in front of an empty stripper pole. That's right, you get snub.
Oh, snap!
He's gonna make sure these fools put down these guns.
Police die every day. People die every day. Mama trying every day. Father trying every day. Trying to get my head straight. City of Chi-Rat, get your bed, mate.
Do you want justice? Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. It's Chi-Rat and I love that. You can't take away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city, yeah.
It's a beauty. That's
a story of fact. Can't shoot so babies get whacked. That is a Chi-Rat. Y'all mad cause I don't call it Chicago. But I don't live in Chicago. Boy, I live in Chi-Rat.
Peace!
This is an emergency.
All right, welcome back. You know, just putting on the Chi-Rat stuff, or Chi-Rat is what the movie's called. I think it starts Friday. I think it's Friday that it starts.
Yeah, it opens this weekend. And as always, do not go and bootleg this movie. Support the movie. Go see the movie.
I cannot emphasize how much you should not boycott this movie. Starring Nick Cannon, Wesley Snipes, Jennifer Hudson, Steve Harris, Harry Lennox, Angela Bassett, Don Cusack, Sam Jackson. It is I mean, those all those guys put work in. So, you know, even Lala.
Forgot
Anthony
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle as the club owner. He was in a clip. He has such a distinguished voice. I could always hear Dave Chappelle no matter where he is. So, you know, mm-hmm. Turnback. I don't know too much about what the plot is and all that good stuff, but I know to go out and support it. So I just want to say that. And Kathleen, are you still with us? I think you might have us on mute. Okay. She might have us on mute, but Kathleen will be back with us in a second. But I wanted to say that Spike Lee also was in the news because did you see the video online with Spike Lee receiving his Oscar, his honorary? You know, Kai should have been here for this part because, you know, it's the whole thing. I know on Black Crime, we've talked about Spike Lee on different occasions for different things, but he received an honorary Oscar, and I want to know what you think about that.
I thought it was long overdue, and that's for years of work. Spike has put in some great movies, some discovered great talent, and he never was going to get an Oscar for any of his movies. They weren't going to let him win it like that. So, and this is, you know, the Oscars and all these folks want to bring in diversity. So what better way than to start off doing something right by giving Spike Lee this honorary Oscar?
Right. Okay, so, and you know, he should have got one definitely for Malcolm. If there was
should've
nothing
one for
else.
Do the Right Thing. It was the number one movie.
Oh, well.
And beat out everybody, and he didn't even win for that.
That's right. I forgot. So way before Malcolm, he should have got Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's I can't say it's bittersweet. He deserves to have an Oscar, but they kind of underhanded gave him one. They was like, here, don't tell nobody. That's how he got his Oscar.
Well, I'll go back to the Malcolm X, and this is when I really start paying attention to films and how Hollywood works. When we got our tickets, the movie that was also opening that weekend was Aladdin. When we got our tickets, they gave us tickets for Aladdin. We called up Spike, and we were the ones that helped started that and told him.
Right.
So they were selling Aladdin tickets to folks, and people didn't check their tickets for Malcolm X. And just to show
right.
you how sneaky it was, when you go to a movie house, you give them the tickets, and you just don't tell them what movie you're going into. They read the ticket. So you didn't even
right.
read it and say, oh, this is Aladdin. They just accepted it as is.
So they
so,
knew what they were doing all the way through the box
yep.
office.
Yep, and Aladdin opened with number one based off millions. That was originally for Do the Right Thing.
Right.
Or Malcolm X, I should say.
Malcolm. Yeah. So when Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, and Samuel Jackson gave him his Oscar, you know, or did the intro to his Oscar, it was cool to see that Sam Jackson finally, not finally, because I think they mended bridges a long time ago, but remember during the Quentin Tarantino times that, you know, Sam Jackson kind of sided a little bit with Quentin Tarantino with using all those N-word references, because Sam mm-hmm. will cuss. And so it was good to see that he reunited with Spike in this film, and he said, I guess it was his wife that made them cut that out. Like their wives made them sit down.
Right.
But it was good to see that.
Well, you know, and it was long overdue. It was about time. You know, Samuel Jackson's a strong individual, so he was making his points to Spike Lee. And Spike Lee, of course, you know he's opinionated. He's going to make his points. So they argued over something they shouldn't have.
Well, I don't know about that. I just know in Spike's case, Spike was right. I mean, it's like him and Tyler Perry. It was the same thing. He was saying that we have to give some diversity inside of the things that we are sending out into the world. And Quentin
right.
Tarantino tried to put in the script for Denzel Washington, I want to say whatever the submarine movie that he was in with, I guess it was Gene Hackman. I can't remember what it was. But Quentin Tarantino was one of the writers on that movie. He kept trying to make Denzel use the N-word in a doggone movie with, when he's in the military. And Denzel wouldn't do it. So to Denzel's point, he was saying Quentin Tarantino was overusing it. And Spike said, I just don't know what his obsession is of that word. So, you know, to Spike's point, you know, I happen to agree with him. Sometimes you can just overuse it for the shock value, or does it mean anything to you? And he's just saying it can't really mean anything to you, but just for show. And I think that's where that got kind of went in different directions. Now, a Brazilian paper this week, the O Globo, I guess, I don't know what it's pronounced, but Quentin Tarantino is in São Paulo in Brazil. He was talking about his new film, and he was asked would he ever work with Spike Lee again. And Spike Lee directed Girl 6, which was a Quentin Tarantino movie. And in response, Tarantino tried to put off the question, but he replied never. And then he answered a few more questions and then came back to say emphatically, I have two more films to direct, and I will not spend any of them working with that son of a bee. And he said Spike would be very happy the day I accept to work with him, but it will not happen. Now, that, my friend, Spike can be in the wrong all he wants to, but Tarantino has barked up the wrong tree. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he said it like Spike needs to obey him, and he's just wrong for that.
Yeah.
You know,
we
just talked about this with the Tom Joyner thing. Like, you can remain close to some people, and they remain close to your culture and your genre, but they don't own it. And Quentin Tarantino says, I can do whatever I want to.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because it was something that has been on my mind. Because when you wake up, and I've been watching so much TV, but when you start looking at stuff, you realize that as our black culture is being lost and sold off, and we need people like Spike Lee to fight it and bring it to attention. The new Dish Network commercial is by far the blackest commercial, with only one black in it. When they're offering a race, they're dancing black, and all this other stuff.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And I'm looking, and I'm like, you're throwing our culture in our face. You're going to imitate us and everything. I just saw something else. Oh, the new Sisters movie. What's the comedian's name? Amy Poehler and
yes.
What's her name?
Oh yes, I know who you're talking about. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah, Tina Fey. So there's a segment in there where they're what they call dancing black. So, to wake up out of this and then see this stuff, and you know, we sell out. We've sold out and don't hold people accountable for indulging in our culture when everybody else's culture gets, you know, they get the respect and we don't get the respect. They make it seem like it's coonish, and we sell off, and that's a sad thing. And we have to get it back. And I want to thank Spike for keeping it real, even with this Chirac. We have blacks that's criticizing Chirac and they haven't even seen it yet.
Right.
I think it's a novel approach, because, like we've been saying for years, women control what happens. All this stuff that's happening in hip-hop, if you stop backing it by dancing to it, downloading ringtones to this music, it would change. These dudes out here killing and doing all that other stuff, cut them off. You women control our things, and you're really the key. You're the key to a lot of things, and I don't think women understand that.
And as you segued into our Soul Train Music Awards, talking about music, it was one of the most talked about highlights of the music awards. And I want to get your take on it, because I didn't watch it, but the tribute to Babyface with Tevin Campbell and Boyz II Men, Bobby Brown,
just
Brandy.
Just classy.
And even just Fantasia classy. Did a great job generally. But they, she did Karen White's that woman empowerment anthem, Superwoman, and you know, people went off on social media about it. And White went to Facebook and called out Soul Train, and but she did say, I think Fantasia did an incredible job. She's a bad girl, and she put it down. And it's nothing to do with Fantasia. I really like the fact that Babyface wrote the song, and, you know, Karen Wright did make it a hit. So, you know,
I will say this. I didn't understand why they didn't contact Karen White. Maybe they tried to. I'm not sure. But they also didn't do any Toni Braxton songs, which was the staple for Babyface and was responsible for launching the Face Records.
Right.
But overall, the Soul Train Music Awards was the classiest thing I've seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
In years. It was classy. I really enjoyable. They didn't have any hip hop. One of the things Erykah Badu wanted, she wanted to be classy, and she wanted a real representation of what hip hop is supposed to be. But the only thing that I didn't like, I'll say this. For everyone that holds Bill Cosby accountable and say the things that you say about Bill Cosby, I don't know how you can get up and shake your tail to R. Kelly. I don't understand it.
I know Commish is on, so Commish, you might want to chime in on this, but I thought perfectly that we should start our new season of Black on Black Crime with the Bill Cosby versus R. Kelly. Because everybody acts as if R. Kelly has never done anything, and Bill Cosby was guilty of something. Like, they really, like, it's interesting on how we look at those two and complete opposite when it's like, oh, no, R. Kelly is singing and dancing, and that's my song, so people can ignore everything with R. Kelly. Bill Cosby has no effect. As positive as the Cosby Show is, like, no bad stereotypes on the Cosby Show. We advocated, along with Centric and all those guys who pulled the Cosby Show off the air, they need to go back and revisit that if you're going to have R. Kelly on your show that you're broadcasting.
And then talk about it like it's a big thing. You know, the stuff with R. Kelly is there's proof that he married Aaliyah, all right? So because what was said to me was, well, where's the proof? And then, when people don't remember, he was pulled over in Florida. He was pulled over when he was in Florida. And they took his camera out, and they found images of him with young girls. And what I mean, young girls, underage.
Right.
So, but that case got dropped because it was an illegal search.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you can't give one a pass and then be like, okay, well, it's R. Kelly, that's my jam. It doesn't work like that.
Right. Now, also that night, Tyrese, you said Tyrese won an award? And I think
that
as far as the music industry is concerned, that is a major coup for an independently produced record come out like that and Tyrese get some props. So I was concerned that he wouldn't, and I'm glad that he did.
Well, I didn't think he was. His album is Black Rose, and came out on Voltron Records. Homeboy did his thing. I remember just the beginning part of summer, and he was reiterating with Tank, because Tank said that blacks don't appreciate good music because we don't go out and support. And Tyrese said the same thing. When I will go out and we'll buy, what's that white boy name?
Robin Thicke.
We'll support it. We'll call the radio stations and ask for that. But we're not getting behind real, you know, black music. Tyrese's album Black Rose is the most incredible album I've heard in years, and it shows the growth. And I'm a huge Tyrese fan. So he has always made good music, but this is the most truthful, which is what black music, soul music should be. It should be truthful. It's very truthful. I do want to write him and tell him I think he's crazy for this will be supposed to be his last album. That's nuts. You got a strong
message.
You have everybody's attention now. Yeah, you have everybody's attention now. So you need to continue
singing.
Well,
I think it was like such a hard road for him to even get to there. And I think that it should be to a point where he does so well from this particular sales that he should have an easy coasting road, an easier one.
Well, when you do it independently, which I've always told people, put your own project out. See, when he did it independently, because no label was going to put out his record. You know,
right?
He did it his way, so that's what you should continue to do. But even Tyrese, when he was starting, he's going down the wrong road. So
yeah.
He was doing music the way they wanted it done, and it wasn't really a full picture, or wasn't one something he wanted done. So that's what happened.
He did it the way they wanted to do, and then they dropped him. So
right.
What does that mean, right? So, yeah,
right.
So I'm proud of that. You wanted to also mention Janet Jackson's music as well.
Well, I'm a Janet Jackson fan, and so many people are. It's really a great album. It's she's back with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis on some tracks, but it's more of a tribute of who she is and what she's done. It's really good. And Janet doesn't just make soul music. She makes world music because she has so many fans over. So you can hear, you'll hear that club music stuff. She's got a lot of ballads, which should make every Quiet Storm fan happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she, you know, and she embraced, you know, more stuff in the culture, hip-hop. She has J. Cole on there, who I love. I'm a J. Cole fan. And that remix she has, oh, my God. And it's really a great album. It's just like the Janet of old. The Janet of old.
Right.
And people should go pick up and support that album as well.
Right. And I'm with you. I mean, I've always liked Janet Jackson's music. And I am telling you, when I first heard that, it's funny how you can when you stay in your own lane, there's always a void in music for you. It reminded me of Michael. Because people would say, you know, people aren't going to gravitate towards Michael's stuff and blah, blah, blah. Whenever Michael put out an album, he had his own lane.
Mm-hmm.
So Janet just hit, she's become one of three artists to actually have a hit record in, I think it's four different decades. And you got to remember, this is going on 2016, so she only has four more years, and if she puts out one more, she'll be the only artist to ever make it in five different decades.
Well, I hope Janet responsible for my stroke, because when I heard that single, I lost my mind. So she's the reason why I had the stroke.
Yeah, she'd be the reason I probably have. That's why I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I did listen to that single. I listened to a couple of songs, and like I said, you know, Janet put it down. So much respect to Janet. I don't know how she's doing, like, on the chart side of it. And you know how the music business is. They'll be trying to get rid of Janet. But with Tyrese's success, I guarantee you every major label is trying to get a nice R&B cat now.
Well, they're copycat.
That's all they do is copy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like television. You know how television is. Not until, like, Empire did well numbers. Then they run out and try to hire all these black actors to do shows. Or not since then. It's, you know, and Kathleen wanted to ask you about this. She wanted to know what you thought about the whole series of Scandal, Empire, How to Get Away with Murder, and all of these shows that are now coming online based on, you know.
Well, I'm actually writing an article on, because I said this has been a great year for black television. From the writers to the actors and actresses, there's an abundance of great programming on. I'm a huge Empire fan because I lived that life. I love How to Get Away with Murder. Scandal, of course, is not one of my favorites, but I like it. Blackish, which is a great television show.
Right.
Well written and well acted. Then you have my man, Morris Chestnut in Rosewood. I love that show. It's a great show.
Right. Wesley Snipes has the show out, what is it called? The
That's
Players?
Another great show, Players. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that show just came out of nowhere. You have, I can't remember the young actor's name that's on Supergirl. So you have, and it's because of shows and our acting abilities where they can now can say, you know what? They always knew there was money in blackness, but now they're giving us a chance to be in front of and behind the scenes. And it's really great. You got to give props to Shonda Rhimes because she helped, you know, hold the door open for both men and women, black, people of color, even the shows, the Asian shows. Is because of another minority that held the door open so that minority programming could come
on.
Yeah,
I like Off the Boat. I think DMX was on it the other night, too. Go check that
out.
You know what? I
must be the only one that's not getting into it. I understand the importance of it, but
that's,
it's not that
that's
funny
his experience.
To
me. Yeah. I enjoy the show just from the parents' perspective. Not necessarily his, but I get it. It's his experience of assimilating our culture, but nobody else, no other ethnic group talks about their struggle in assimilating culture because as it goes, when we create stuff, you know, as a culture, everybody act like, nope, it ain't no big deal. Like everybody and their mother are whipping Nene at every sporting event in here, and when a black person get killed by a police officer, they act like it was the kid's fault. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That same kid who made that song that your kids are dancing to, you could not stand him if you saw him sitting next to you, you know, at a ball game.
Well, I think that, you know what? I think they could because I met him before I had my stroke. He came to Baltimore. He is a smart young man, has a plan, has a vision. They're keeping him focused. But he is, you know, he's really good. He gives it, give props to God whenever he can.
No.
But,
I'm saying from a distance, though. The stereotype of black men.
Stereotype.
If you saw him, not talk to him, but if you saw him, most of those people who are dancing to a song would be put off.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
of course.
Yeah. So that's
what
I'm saying
is
that they don't.
See, the thing is, all this stuff that has happened, there still hasn't been a real true discussion about racism. Now, you know, there's been little spots here and there, but they don't really discuss the racism. They discuss the stuff that leads to stereotypes. That's not discussion on racism. Those are two different subjects.
Right. Oh, you know, and I did forget the talk about Spike Lee's interview with the Daily Beast when he talked about Donald Trump, when, you know, the alleged racist Donald Trump, I must add. And they said that, you know, he has dangerous behavior. And so he said, here's the thing, the United States has perfected the science of the boogeyman, like Native Americans, African Americans, Hispanics, Nazis, Soviets, Chinese, and now Muslims. And he said they're the boogeymen. So like Nazis and like Hitler and Mussolini, y'all can't continue to do that. So he criticized Trump for encouraging his supporters to beat a Black Lives Matter protester because, you know, Donald Trump actually came out and said he needed to be roughed up. And Spike said, he might as well said, just go F him up. Like, that was really what you're saying when you say he needs to be roughed up. So you got to handle your words, but we don't deal with race in this country very well. And
no, we don't. And you mentioned Donald Trump, and I want to say this. I don't care how good The Apprentice is to you. I don't see how. And you could be all excited that a black guy won. You could be happy that Arsenio did good when he was on. All you want. That is a Donald Trump brand. By watching that show, you support that show. So when you know, I can't get behind, and then you want to talk about Donald Trump in another sense, you're supporting his show, which ups his ratings and up all this and that. And so it's hilarious to me, even like with these black churches, you're chasing behind a guy that you already know who he is. He's already told you that he's racist. He told you he don't like women. He doesn't have no respect.
Right.
And yet and still, we're running behind looking for support from him.
Right. And, you know, and so there you have it. We need to do black on black crime. Whenever you feel like you want to do that show, we need to talk about those black pastors with Donald Trump. We need to talk about the Steve Harvey versus Arsenio Hall, why we can't keep Arsenio Hall on the air, but Steve Harvey can go on the show with a talk show and mimic and all of that good stuff. Well, we can talk about that. But also, you know, in the news today, before we go out, FX Network has announced that February 2nd at 10 p.m., they're going to be doing their American crime story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfolding over a 10-episode first season. And just like American Horror Story, American Crime Story is trying to be like that. So it's based on the book, on a book called Run for His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And they're saying O.J. is not getting anything from this. He's not financially benefiting from it. They, as far as I'm concerned, bite me. He needs to benefit from him. He was found not guilty for killing her. So, you know, it's going to be propaganda. So that's all I want to say about that. But I know that that's coming out. American Horror
right.
Story, O.J. Yeah, so we need to talk about that and just kind of deal with all of this undercover stuff that nobody's talking about. But on that note,
exactly.
I want to give you some time to close out this segment so that, you know, we can go back and do Black on Black Crime and talk about all these topics. But we want to just kind of get you on the air. Make some statements. Tell us what you think about the stuff that's going on in the world, and then we can close up out of there.
Well, I appreciate it, and if I never told you guys before, I love you, and I appreciate all the work and all the things that you guys do. I'm a bigger fan of you guys than you are of mine, and I appreciate it for you letting me come on and have a voice in the out there and for the community here.
Yeah, and you know that's not true. You don't love us more than we love you. But at the same time, you know, Kai and Kathleen, I don't know if Kathleen's dropped or so, but we're having problems with her mic. But we definitely want to go back, come on, and talk a little bit more about what's going on with you. And wanted to give you some room in your recovery and just say, you know, hey, hang in there because we know you're supposed to be all right. So don't say that anybody spared you. You are supposed to be okay, and that's pretty much how that works.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, so definitely we'll tune in and we'll post it online. We'll post it online, our next show when we're going to come on the air, and I'll do a better job of getting the word out. Anytime
okay,
you want to
no
speak
problem.
To us, let us know, and we'll fire up the programming.
All right.
So we'll get with you next time. See you later.
All right.
Now, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Off the Clock. We're here just kind of talking about what's going on in the world. We had Vanessa on and just wanted to get some background and stuff that was going on with them. But we'll see you again next time. Check your local listings. All right. See you next time.